buckle up your pant legs, zip up your hats, and take off your shirts, but not in a weird way. It's time for Sounds About Light, a podcast about Kingdom Hearts. What? Hold on. I've got it written down. Kingdom Hearts 0.2 Birth by Sleep - A Fragmentary Passage - I'm Sam.
I'm Drew.
It's good to be back.
So this isn't this isn't 2.8, it's 0.2 of BBS.
This is okay, it's so simple. This is Kingdom Hearts 0.2 Birth by Sleep, A Fragmentary Passage, which comes on the Kingdom Hearts 2.8 HD Prologue collection.
I see. Okay. Yeah, all right. I can follow that.
Okay, good.
So it's 0.2 cuz Birth by Sleep is 0. And then yeah. Kingdom Hearts 1. It still doesn't make sense, though, because you get all the way into Kingdom Hearts 1 in this game.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is Kingdom Hearts 1.5.
No, it's Kingdom Hearts 0.9, really.
It should be Kingdom Hearts 0.9. I do agree with that. And yet, here we are.
Yeah.
And it's called A Fragmentary Passage because it's a short game? Is that what that means?
Yeah, we talked about that. It's like a passage, as in like an excerpt from a story, you know. And it's a fragment of one. Yeah.
But also, I used to think that there was meaning to it, but it turns out it is really in the amelioratory benevolence school of titling.
I actually think they're going for a double meaning thing. I know I'm supposed to be funny, maybe, but I think what they're doing is say, like, the world's also falling apart and stuff too. So it's a fragmentary passage. It's a short excerpt, and also it. It's literally a fragmenting passage that Aqua is running around on.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they named two games that, because they both were kind of like that.
Just in case anyone listening to this hasn't played it and doesn't know what happens in this, I want to apologize for telling you to take your shirt off. That was a reference to something that happens in this game. I wasn't being weird, I swear.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about like 5 minutes about this game and then maybe like 50 minutes about that part.
Well, we do begin with this was, I mentioned, somewhere in, I think, the end of part one of Unchained Key. We saw a little bit of this. It's the Keyblade Graveyard. It's presumably Lushu.
Now I get to see it with the knowledge that those are all children's Keyblades strewn about.
Correct. Someone that we assume is Lushu watches with no name and the black box as Kingdom Hearts appears in the sky. I'm guessing that means that this is like immediately after the Keyblade War. Like Dennis is still lying, bleeding out on the ground.
Or Lushu stood there for like however many years.
I guess that's possible. We then go to Yen Sid. This is right after Dream Drop Distance. Yen Sid tells Riku, Kairi, and Mickey that they've got to find the three lost Keyblade wielders from Birth by Sleep before they do battle with Xehanort. And the only one who knows where Ventus is Aqua, and Aqua is lost. And Mickey reveals that he knows where she is, because it turns out that he met her in the Realm of Darkness at some point.
It's kind of fucked up that Mickey's just let her hang out there then, knowing where she is.
This is a thing that a lot of people say. I personally am on the Mickey did not nothing wrong, but I think that Mickey's actions were reasonable. If anyone did anything wrong, I think it's Yen Sid.
Mickey's been pretty busy. Mickey hasn't had a lot of time. He's been trying to keep other people alive, so that's fair, I guess.
Yeah, I think the further we get into this series, though, the more I'm going to be like, Yen Sid, I know that you relinquished your Keyblade after you sank Atlantis into the ocean, but I think you need to pick the thing back up and help.
Yeah. Well, I guess one thing, too, is like there really isn't actually a ton of time between Birth by Sleep and like the rest of the story, because Sora's already alive or whatever during Birth by Sleep, so...
It's 10 years.
Yeah.
He's a little lad, and now he's a less little lad.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, Yen Sid should have been, he could have done more, maybe.
He could have helped at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
We then get the, or I think this is where Gamer's Little Playground decided to insert the opening.
Mm-hmm.
We get to hear the Ray of Hope mix of Simple and Clean, which is fun. I would put it in here, except we would then both be arrested.
Right. Yeah.
I love to see little Sora, Riku, and Kairi playing on the beach together.
It's good. How much do you think Utada Hikaru's gotten paid for that song at this point?
For that one song?
Yeah, yeah, that they've remixed a bunch of times, and yeah.
Well, I've bought Kingdom Hearts about 15 times, so that's $1 million right there, yeah. Baseline.
Yeah, I mean, about, yeah. I bought the collection, and then I bought Dream Drop Distance, so I'm getting there, so.
Yeah, I don't think there's really that much to say about this opening. I really like the shot at the end when Aqua is sinking into the water and Sora's hand reaches down towards her. That's a nice shot.
I like that. Yeah.
And then that's it. We pick up exactly where the final ending of Birth by Sleep left off, with Aqua wandering through the Realm of Darkness and finding Cinderella's castle.
Yeah.
And saying that's bad.
It's nice. Aqua says very helpfully for everybody. Oh, I guess this is maybe a scene from now, but she goes, "Why is Cinderella's world here in the darkness?" Which was very helpful for maybe a player who didn't know what they were looking at.
Yeah. One of the people who's not a complete freak like me who looks at that and goes, "Ah, that's the castle from the Castle of Dreams."
Yeah, or maybe you didn't play Birth by Sleep, you know.
I mean, that's even weirder, the thought of someone playing this and not Birth by Sleep.
Yeah, maybe.
Best of luck to anyone trying to play these games in any order at all. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
One thing that I really appreciate about this is that Aqua, we will find that she's been down here for a long time, which means that she monologues to herself, but it makes sense that she's doing it because she's trying not to go completely insane.
Yeah, no, it's like helpful because she's on her own so that the player can still understand what's going on, but she is, yeah, trying not to entirely lose it here.
Yeah, the version of this game where Aqua is just dead silent is very grim.
It's a choice, but yeah, different. Yeah.
So thank you to Aqua for keeping us in the loop on what you're thinking. She's got Ericus's Keyblade. She fights some Heartless, which we will remember later. She doesn't know what they are yet, which is weird to think about.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked getting reminded that she dealt with the Unversed and she's never seen Heartless.
Yeah, she's just like denizens of the dark. She reflects on how time is meaningless down here, and she has no idea how long it's been. And I really like this part where she walks into the sort of surrounding town outside of the castle, and she thinks about, like, you know, I took my friends for granted because I thought that I would never lose them. And then we get a montage of Birth by Sleep and her meeting Jacques and all that. And she's like, I wonder if the people of this world felt the same. And we look around the town and we see, like, curtains fluttering in the windows of the empty houses. It's very, very eerie.
It is, yeah. And it's a good reminder that the people don't get brought here with the worlds. Or if they do, I guess maybe they just become heartless.
I'm trying to remember.
Because some people escape, obviously. We meet people who are,
yeah, some of them end up in, like, Traverse Town. Some of them, I think, end up in the Realm of Sleep, maybe.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's actually, yeah, and I actually had that, I was wondering about that. I'm like, is this the Realm of Sleep? I think it's the Realm of Darkness, but is it also the Realm of Sleep? Because I thought the worlds were sleeping worlds once they fell to darkness.
No, and that's a whole mess, and they've never really fully explained it.
Okay,
but
cool. All right.
I think the way that they explain the sleeping worlds in Dream Drop Distance is that they are worlds that have been saved from the Realm of Darkness, but have not managed to return to the Realm of Light. And they never really explained what that means or why it happens, so I'm going to assume that either it doesn't matter and they just needed a reason, or it's going to be incredibly important in Kingdom Hearts 5.
Okay. They probably don't know yet, or didn't know when they wrote it.
they're desperately trying to come up with a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's a top tier desperately trying to come up with a reason moment in this game.
Yeah, you know, and like, I think it's okay. I mean, well, I know a lot of fans like to think that writers always know all the answers, all this stuff. But if you've paid attention to this series, you know that they've made stuff up on the fly, and that's okay. And I think it's weird to assume writers are these like amazing 5D chess masters. They're just people, you know. Like, I don't think that's not happening, and it's okay. You know, you'd say to maybe one very prominent writer that, hey, maybe it's okay if you admit you just didn't know. And maybe your books wouldn't be so fucking weird at the end if you could have just admitted you didn't know.
Maybe a hypothetical author might have bigger problems and bigger things to answer for, but that is also one of them.
I think that this hypothetical author we're talking about, that inability to ever admit you're wrong maybe is also like a part of a bigger character flaw
that they would have if this was about a specific person.
Yes, that's right.
But I don't know who you're talking about. Yeah. But anyway. So Aqua, she thinks about the people in the town, and even their pets are all gone, and she's like, this town carries so much grief, it's impossible to even really think about it. So she just sort of moves on, and we then get into some gameplay stuff that we don't really need to talk about. There's like a little kind of puzzle sequence here where the clock like winds time forward to 5 a.m. and Aqua has to hit gears and turn back time, and they talk about metaphors, and she thinks about how she wishes she could turn back time.
It looks cool. I feel like it's partially them trying to be like, look, next gen Kingdom Hearts.
Oh yeah, I mean, this game, I don't think it necessarily looks the best sometimes. I think Kingdom Hearts 3, they really took what they had here and polished it up, and yeah. I was really glad about that. I mean, there are parts of this game that look great, but it feels really good to play. It's a lot of fun. I really like Fragmentary Passage. And Aqua, yeah, speaking of things that they can do in Unreal Engine, Aqua meets a new enemy, a Demon Tower, which is a tornado of Shadow Heartless.
Demon Tower is cool. I like Demon Tower, at least visually.
Demon Tower is cool.
Yeah. It's very Dark Souls boss-ish, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of yucky.
Yep.
You kind of hate to look at it.
Mm-hmm. It actually reminds me of, in Dark Souls 1, the like little bone towers you find in like the catacombs and stuff, in the giant's tomb.
Oh, I don't know if I remember those. I don't know if I got there. I might be too much of a scrub to know what you're talking about.
It's in the really dark place where you can't see anything.
Oh, okay. I probably wouldn't have seen them anyway then.
Okay.
Is that where the gaping dragon is?
Nope. No.
Okay. A different dark place where I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, that's right. The one where you really can't see anything.
Okay, I don't think I ever got there then.
Okay.
The gaping dragon killed me and I never played the game again.
Oh, that's pretty early, so yeah, this is later. Well, I guess it's Dark Souls. You could have done... It's later, anyway.
I beat the final boss and then the gaping dragon killed me.
Right.
No, I sucked at that game. There's a really sad moment here. After Aqua turns back all the clocks and starts walking toward the castle, and she looks up at the sky, which is kind of a starry night sky, a little bit in a realm of darkness type of way, and she thinks about how much she wishes that she could spend another night under the stars with Terra and Ventus. And when she realizes that she's like yearning for her friends, she's like, I'm doing it again. And I was like, oh, that's so sad.
It's really sad, yeah.
Her, like, telling herself off for wishing she could see her friends.
Yeah, you know,
very tragic.
When we did Birth by Sleep, I remember us talking about how we felt like it wasn't that Aqua was a bad character, but people have, like, assigned a lot of extra characterization to her that isn't really there. Mm-hmm. But the characterization in this game is, like, better, I think. Honestly.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of can't help but be, since it's like all Aqua being introspective and thinking about what she wants and why she wants it. Yeah, whereas in Birth by Sleep, she really is just kind of going through the motions of being a protagonist and being like, huh, looks like they did something here. Well, better get going.
Yeah, exactly.
But then she sees a little hallucination question mark of Terra, who walks up toward her. She has a lot of conflicting emotions. She can't believe he's here, and she's happy to see him, but she's also worried about how he would be here, and scared of what that would mean for him. And he doesn't say anything to her. And she tries to grab his hand, but she just, like, passes right through him. She wonders if maybe the Realm of Darkness or maybe the Castle of Dreams itself is keeping her thoughts alive. I have no idea what to make of that. I don't know if that's lore or world building or just weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Yeah.
I could imagine that there's some, like, Princess of Heart magic at play here, you know?
Yeah, about making, like, Terra show up?
Yeah.
I think that they actually will explain it later on, that it's just her connection with Terra.
Yeah, it was a little confusing because later she sees some visions that feel different than this one.
Well, yeah, there's the ones that aren't visions later. And I think that this isn't a vision either. I think this is just the thing that we get later starting to manifest.
Mm, okay.
But who knows?
So she keeps going. She finds the Drowf cottage next, and she sees Ventus sleeping in the princess display case.
Yeah.
But he disappears once again. And she like kind of talks to Ventus and says, like, Ventus, you're what's keeping me strong enough to push away the darkness. And then a big floating mirror pops up behind her and things get a little weird.
This was cool. I liked it because she puts her hand up to the mirror and then her own hand yanks her through the mirror.
Yeah. And she's in this weird, like, sort of like a plaza of mirror shrines, I guess you could say.
And there's hieroglyphics around the entrance she comes in. Like, I feel like this might be a place at some point.
Oh, you think so? I kind of just chalked this up to, like, it's the mirror world. I don't know.
Well, they call it the world within.
Yeah.
Which makes what it's like, is it the world within darkness? Is it the world within Aqua? What is it, the world within? Mm. But they, like, I feel like they paused on the hieroglyphics long enough for me to go, that might be something that they want to, like, return to.
Did they kind of look like astrological symbols to you?
Yeah, that's, yeah, they could, yeah, that could be what it is. I'd have to look at it again.
Because I think that's something that has kind of started to come up, like, in some of the most recent Kingdom Hearts stuff.
Okay.
And it could be nothing. It could be that they're just like, oh, cool symbols. But yeah, I don't know. I hadn't imagined that the little mirror world could actually have a deeper significance than just another gameplay section for Aqua to go through. But that's interesting. We'll definitely be on the lookout for anything else with this.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's that kind of thing where it could be nothing. It felt like they were, like, letting you see enough of it for it to be a thing. But they could also just be them giving themselves the ability to come back to it later if they want to. So,
She has to go through a bunch of different gameplay segments and puzzles in different mirrors. It's not that interesting. It's fun to play, but not to talk about.
Yeah. I do like when she fights herself and her shadow self says, only your heart is hollow enough to be a demon's.
That is an ice cold line. Yeah, she fights. It's in the same sort of void where she fought the spirit of the mirror in Birth by Sleep, in that hilarious moment where the mirror was just like, "Welcome, I will be a boss fight now for no reason."
Yeah, right.
But yeah, her reflection, pulls her into the mirror within the mirror, and yeah, she's fighting all these, like, mirror copies of herself who are, like, taunting her with her own negative thoughts. They're saying stuff like, Ven will never wake up. I am no master. I'll be trapped in here forever. I want to fade into the darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Aqua, once you're out of here, I think the first thing that you're going to want to do is see a therapist.
Right. And I think that this stuff could be about, like, her own internal struggle, because it's called The World Within, and then she fights, like, her own, like, personal demons. So that might be all this is.
Yeah, and I think this is a manifestation of... I think we are getting to see, in a way that we never really have before, the way that darkness attacks a heart in Kingdom Hearts.
Right.
Because this does feel like it's sort of taking stuff that already exists inside of Aqua and amplifying it and sort of trying to override the rest of her with this. And she even thinks to herself about that after she beats her reflection. She's like, it feels like I've become my own worst enemy. All I've done since I'm down here is talk to myself, and maybe I was just pretending to be brave, and that false bravery was never going to be enough to keep out the darkness. And she kind of realizes, like, if I'm starting to feel this way now, like, it's only going to get worse from here.
Yeah. Yeah, which is sad and scary, but it's cool tension for the game.
Mm-hmm. She goes to the next world, which is the Enchanted Dominion, which is Sleeping Beauty's world. And this is where I felt so bad for her here, because she sees visions once again of Ventus and Terra, and she like acknowledges out loud to herself. She's like, I don't even care that they're not real. I just miss them too much to not follow them.
Oh, so sad.
And yeah, she's like fighting through like the forest itself, which is like attacking her with scary magical vines. And then she finds like a dark side and she fights that, and she like turns a corner and there's like a field of like 30 more dark sides and a gigantic darkness ball in the sky that they're like feeding.
Yeah, they're creating a giant evil spirit bomb.
Yeah, it really is. And she's like, you will not stand between me and my friends. And I'm like, oh my god, she's going so far just to look at what she knows are like hallucinations.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, like, the imagery just keeps on being like very metal, and like, this looks like straight up like she's in hell, basically.
Yes, I love the visuals when she finds all these dark sides, because if I remember correctly, there's a segment that I can't remember if it was in this video, where you like grind rail out of the forest on the vines, and then you're in this clearing, and yeah, the sky is like purple and orange, and there's just dark sides as far as the eye can see, and it's just like this like rocky wasteland outside the forest. Really, really cool looking.
Yeah, what were they doing with that spirit bomb? Were they going to, like, blow it up? Blow up the...
I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like a lot of things in Fragmentary Passage, it's hard to tell what was just a gameplay thing to do for this little short prequel to Kingdom Hearts 3 and what is actually important.
Yeah, it's probably mostly just stuff that looks cool, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's been in my list of mysteries and questions since the beginning, is what are Dark Side Heartless? Are they anything important, or are they literally just tutorial bosses?
Yeah, they're just what happens when a Heartless gets big, when the Heartless goes to the gym.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But not in the way where Shadow Heartlesses clump up and become a tornado. This is a different kind, where they get put into some sort of big buff mold.
Yeah, no, this is like when they have protein shakes and they like, you know, yeah, they get on a diet. They're all on that like Marvel superhero diet, basically.
Or maybe, yeah, this is Shadow Kumail.
No. Yeah.
Maybe the Shadow Heartless, they're just the little children. They age and become the teenage Neo Shadows, and then they become the large adult Dark Sides.
Oh, these are the Mommy and Daddy Heartless. Okay.
Yeah, and they were all just having a book club.
Yeah, yeah.
That Aqua rudely interrupted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe, yeah, you ever thought, are the Keyblade wielders the bad guys? Could be.
You've been talking to King Triton, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to Xehanort. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. It's hard not to. He's most characters.
Yeah, at this point. He's even more all the time.
So she defeats this big, big mob of dark sides. The ball of darkness explodes and, like, obliterates all of them and a lot of the environment around them. And Terra and Ventus are here. But yeah, it seems like something's a little bit different, because Terra is talking to her this time, but he can't see her. And Ventus is standing there and he's just sort of looking vacantly at the ground. And Terra's like, Aqua, where are you? Ventus is here? What? He's very confused. And this feels like this is actually a real connection with real Terra in some way.
Well, and that's what makes you think it wasn't ever a hallucination. You know, it's Kingdom Hearts has this thing, right, where your connections, but connections between hearts can like let people know where they are, or even bring them together, you know? And I feel like her like determination in wanting to see her friends has like literally manifested them, part of them here, basically.
You think maybe the reason that they weren't talking earlier was that it was sort of like the connection was kind of trying to like push through the darkness to get to her, maybe?
Yeah, the dial-up wasn't finished going yet, so like she had to just wait for it to make it all the way through.
Oh, I thought that was like some sort of corruption with the video, the hour-long dial-up noise.
No.
Before this scene.
Yeah, it was just buffering. She was still buffering the JPEG of Terra, and so it was going to take a while.
So yeah, he says like, Aqua, if you are calling me Terra right now, it means that you're seeing me as you remember me. I think that what that means is that this probably is like a very, abstract, like heart connection.
Yeah.
And the only reason that we are seeing Terra here is because it's Aqua who is perceiving this connection, but yeah, he says that you're just seeing what you want to see. My real self is lost in shadow. I'm not in the realm of darkness with you, but there is a connection between my heart and the darkness, and that is how I'm speaking to you right now. And Aqua is kind of like, what do you mean your heart has ties to the darkness? And he's like, let's talk about something else.
Yeah, I don't even look like this. The real me is lost in shadow. Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, you always wanting to know what I mean.
Yeah, and I think this is when Terra reveals that he doesn't see that Ven's there. Or he already said that, right? Yeah, so he doesn't see Ven. And he does say that Xehanort's trying to find Ventus.
Yeah. And yeah, he says that he doesn't know where Ventus is, which, of course, we know that. But he's like, yeah, Xehanort is looking for him. And she's like, oh, don't worry. He'll never find him. And then she turns to look at Ven, which is very bad timing, as Xehanort takes over Terra once again, and his hair becomes silver, and he becomes Epic Richard Epcar. Didn't mean to say Epic. Just meant to say he becomes Richard Epcar.
Yeah, there's a lot of Epic going on, so.
He becomes Richard Epic, and while she's not looking, and, you know, again, this is, I think, one of those things where we are seeing what's happening to us, but I think basically what I'm getting at is that his voice changes completely and she doesn't notice.
Yeah, I'm always curious, like, how much of that is what the characters are supposed to hear or just for us.
I'm going to assume that she was hearing Terra's voice because she didn't see him transform.
Yeah.
Because the alternative is that Terra goes from Aqua, Ventus is somewhere in the realm of light, but I don't know where. And Xehanort's trying to find him. You have to be careful. Now, where is Ventus?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you know, I turned the... Wait a minute.
Aqua, Xehanort is trying to locate Ven.
He'll never find him. I hid Ven well. I think the reason he's not talking to me here... because he's still there, sleeping.
No, I can't control. This place, is it the Chamber of Waking?
Yes. Who are you?
And I guess you wouldn't, I mean, maybe you just wouldn't assume that your friend got possessed, but yeah.
I did want to give credit where it's due, in my opinion. I think that the voice acting for both of them is quite a bit better in this game.
Oh, yeah. I did feel like Terra said Aqua when she first showed up, but other than that, he was doing good.
he was thinking about Stitch.
Yeah, he was thinking about Stitch. Exactly.
Aqua.
Friend
Circle? I'll have to look that up. I didn't catch it, but it's possible that he did say Aqua.
It sounded weird to me. I think he just kind of elongated it a little bit.
Aqua.
And yeah, she turns back and sees that he's got silver hair now, and she's like, well, that's not good. But Oh yeah, when she's not looking at him, he's like, "Are you talking about the Chamber of Waking?" And she says, "Yes, Tara, I am talking about the Chamber of Waking." And then Tara, like, pops up from behind and grabs Tara Xehanort and says, like, he's taken over my body. He's trying to use me to find Ventus. Don't tell him anything. This part is pretty nuts when Xehanort grabs Tara by the face like a basketball and lifts him up. And then a gigantic portal opens up behind them and two massive arms reach out and grab Aqua and Ventus.
Yeah, that was wild.
And I'm pretty sure it's, like, crushing them, because Aqua passes out.
Was Xehanort supposed to have done that, or is that just happening to them?
It's unclear, but I think that he's doing that.
Hmm.
Because he says something here where he's like, "I've got you now," or something like that.
Right.
"Gotcha," he says.
Yeah.
"Gotcha with my big arms."
Could be the Cum Guardian.
Yeah, maybe it's like it's empowered in the realm of darkness or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not gigantic.
Oh, they got
maybe you. Someone needs to tell us how they got so small.
Oh. Or
they're mice.
There's a big boat back there.
It could be that it's a gigantic boat reaching its arms out.
It could be.
There's so many possibilities.
I want the big boat back so bad.
We all want the big boat back. It's never coming back.
Kingdom Hearts 5. Big boat. Bigger boat.
Kingdom Hearts 5, taking the boat back out onto the water. Tara kind of flies into a rage and manages to overpower Xehanort. I think we've seen Ericus use these like golden chains? I feel like we've seen them at this point.
Yeah, we know this is Ericus's thing, and yeah, Tara like blasts them out of his body at Tara Xehanort.
Yeah, this is like a recurring Keyblade wielder technique that we'll see more of as we go. Yeah, he wraps him in these golden chains, but we don't see anything after that because Aqua passes out from being grabbed really hard by a big boat's arms.
So, yeah, what if in Kingdom Hearts 5, you know, you're up against a big boat again, but then Sora transforms himself into a big boat, and then you have big boat combat. Now that's a game. And I hear there's a bunch of boat combat in Kingdom Hearts 3, so they could reuse some of that tech.
You know, there is a bunch of boat combat. I guess Sora would like to be a boat.
Yeah, why not? He's a good boat. Good boat versus evil boat.
Here we go. Sora, Donald, and Goofy travel to the world of cars and planes.
Yeah.
Donald is a plane, bird. Goofy is a car, because cars are the turtles of the road.
And Sora is an aircraft carrier that Donald can take off from.
Yeah, and an aircraft carrier is a big boat.
Yeah.
One of the biggest there is.
It's perfect. We should make...
There we go.
They hire us, Square Enix.
Yeah, except we'll have to move that from Kingdom Hearts 5 to Kingdom Hearts 6 so that it can be the climax of a trilogy, because it's too good.
That's true, yeah. Well, they could just end it at 6, I don't know, whatever.
No, I mean as opposed to 5.
Oh, okay, got it, all right, yeah.
Save it for the end of the second trilogy. The second trilogy, which will, of course, be another 15 games.
Yeah, 15 games over, like, 30 years or something.
I really don't know if I expect them to do that. I mean, since Kingdom Hearts 2, they haven't done that many games. It's been a lot of, like, long-running... I mean, a lot of it has been in the form of Union Cross.
I gotta assume their market's drying up for that stuff. And also, yeah. And there aren't, like, other systems to put games out on now, so...
Yeah, although, I don't know, you got digital distribution, you absolutely could. Maybe this is an even better time than before to just do smaller games, you know?
You know what, though? They gotta make a VR game, and it's gotta be lore critical.
Well, they already did, and it isn't.
Well, okay, really?
I don't know what it is, but there's something called, like, the Kingdom Hearts VR experience, I think.
Okay. I want them to make a third Fragmentary Passage that's a like a Oculus Quest game or something.
For a complete passage.
Mm-hmm.
I have a PSVR. It's one of those classic things that you buy and then use it for a couple days and it's like, wow. And then you put it off to the side and you never want to touch it again.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, I'm a tech guy, kind of, and I thought about buying... I've been tempted to buy VR a bunch of times and I always go, no one actually uses those all the time. So...
Yeah, it was really cool at first, and then it became too much of a pain in the ass to bother.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't look forward to the lore critical VR game, but it will exist.
Yeah.
Aqua is sinking even deeper into the dark abyss than before, and I say abyss because I think that this is what was going on in Dream Drop Distance. I think whenever we're in the realm of darkness and someone is sinking into water, I think that that is the abyss that they've referred to. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think it is.
Sure, yeah.
And she kind of flatly thinks to herself, like, well, I guess this is it. It's time for me to become one with the darkness.
Huh? I don't know about that. Here, I found your wayfinder. I followed it to you. Uh-huh.
I loved to see Mickey here.
It's, you know, you can't feel depressed when Mickey Mouse is here.
No, I'm really turning around on Mickey as being, like, a great character in these games.
I'm a Mickey fan in Kingdom Hearts and not outside of Kingdom Hearts.
I have liked Mickey. And other stuff, but yeah, I mean, I guess I was never that against Mickey, but I'm on board, especially because now I'm starting to understand that he isn't really actually some, like, all-knowing mastermind. He's kind of just, he's flying by the seat of his pants.
He's an impertinent little man.
Yeah.
And we like you, little Mickey.
We like you, epic Mickey.
Yeah, and this game is one of the best examples of that, because Mickey finds Aqua and pulls her back onto solid ground, and he hands her her wayfinder, and we should note, Fashion Police, he's wearing the same outfit that he wore in Chain of Memories. It is what even is this shirt?
Yeah, so I posted on Co-Host about this, but, like, the shirt... is kind of like long and round, and it's got his trouser
buttons from his shorts.
His trouser buttons are on the outside of it, though, but it just looks like a big bib with buttons.
They're on his tummy. Yeah. They're his tummy buttons.
Yeah, he's got tummy buttons on his big bib. And yeah, it's a hell of a look.
And he's kind of got Titus Final Fantasy X shoes.
Yeah. Kind of a standard really thing in cool. These games, I think. But, like, yeah, and I think it's just that, like, this, it's high res now, so we're really getting to see how weird the big buttons are.
Yeah. And Aqua sees him and she's like, Mickey, what are you wearing?
Fashion's gotten wild, Aqua. A lot has changed in the last 10 years.
But there's no time to talk because another demon tower shows up, and there's this really funny part in the middle of this where Aqua's like, the dwellers of darkness, and he goes, heartless.
I appreciate
it. Oh, okay.
I'm glad he took the time to correct a woman. That was good.
Just so you know, we're going to be talking about these for a while, so.
I'm actually.
So. They fight, and then afterward, he says, you know, like, what happened? I can't believe you're down here. We've all been trying to find you all this time. We haven't seen Ventus or Terra. And she says, I think the darkness is starting to get to me, Mickey. And he says, well, you'll be okay. And she says, right. Thanks, Mickey. Oh, there's another one of those right after where he's like, why are you here, Aqua? And she doesn't really answer his question. She just says, how long has it been in the realm of light? And he says, 10 years. And she goes, interesting.
Yeah. Well, because it's unclear how long it feels like she probably feels like it's either been longer than that or way less time than that.
Yeah, I think I kind of get the vibe that time has just sort of blurred. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think she's felt the 10 years.
No.
I have to hope that she didn't feel the 10 years.
Yeah. Well, and I should say, this is the only point, because I was like, I don't know at what point in Mickey's timeline this is supposed to be. So it's like, oh, okay, so this is now Kingdom Hearts 1. Got it. Okay. That's good to know.
I will say, so we were talking before we recorded a few days ago about the timeline that you were sketching out to try to understand what the fuck is going on.
I thought that was going to be funnier. I thought I was going to have a harder time, but I actually think I remembered it okay. So
yeah, I mean, this is my thesis about Kingdom Hearts, and it always has been. If you just go through all of it one at a time, it's actually not that hard to follow.
No. Well, except for ever understanding how the time travel works, but
you can't win them all. But I mentioned, because I think you had assumed that this fragmentary passage would take place between Dream Drop Distance and Kingdom Hearts 3, which it kind of does, because this is all a flashback.
Yeah.
But I kind of explained that we would be flashing back to stuff that happened at the time of Kingdom Hearts 1. So I kind of gave that away to you.
I forgot.
When I played this, was so confused.
Yeah, I actually ended up experiencing that too, until he was like, oh, it's been 10 years. And I'm like, ah, got it. Okay. Because I was like, you know, I was starting to think like, well, the time that I know Mickey was in darkness was in Kingdom Hearts 1. But like, I don't know, this could be any time. We don't see him a lot between 1 through Dream Drop Distance, so he could have been doing kind of anything.
Yeah, I think I kind of assumed that this took place, like, maybe after 2, but before Dream Drop Distance.
Yeah, that was kind of my assumption, but...
And then at the very end, you see little Riku from the end of Kingdom Hearts 1 with his stupid pants and his yellow shirt, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I finally realized that this all takes place near the end of Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah, when he said 10 years, I'm like, oh, Kingdom Hearts 1 is like 10 years after Birth by Sleep, so okay, fine, yeah.
Yeah, amazing that I didn't think about that when I played it, but anyway, he explains, and I'm going to fill this in a little bit with some outside knowledge, because I did not really know what was going on here. Because she says, why are you here? And he says, the Heartless are attacking the world's hearts. I came here looking for a Keyblade of Darkness so that I can lock the door between the realms. We need to lock it from both sides, etc. That's what happens at the end of Kingdom Hearts 1. And he says that it's hard to find an entrance to the Realm of Darkness, but we found that when a world falls to darkness, the realm between gets really unstable, and portals start opening up here and there, which is something that we've seen in Kingdom Hearts 2, I believe. But he says that he snuck in, effectively. And to give a little bit of context here to what he is talking about, this is... At the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 1, he leaves that letter for Donald and Goofy, telling them, I'm going to go do something, you find Leon and find the key. So now we know that when he set off, he was like, they're going to find the key of light, which will help me close the door from the outside. I'm going to go find the key of darkness in the realm of darkness and close the door from the inside. Okay, fine. And it was in Recoded that we saw, because we were getting all of those scenes that were like, how does this information exist in the journal, you know?
Yeah.
There was one scene after Sora and friends defeated the guard armor in Traverse Town very early on that we see Pluto kind of sneak around a corner and there's a corridor of darkness and he jumps in.
Oh, right.
That is what happened. Also, in Dream Drop Distance, we saw those like memory vision kind of things through Sora's eyes in that weird, trippy first-person section, where Mickey was running around in Traverse Town as Sora was there. What happened is, Mickey arrives in Traverse Town, hides from Donald and Goofy and Sora, waits until a corridor of darkness pops open, and then just jumps into it. That is how he got into the Realm of Darkness. This means that he was like just hiding around the corner the entire time.
Well, yeah, and that's what I mean by, like, this is also how I learned, like, Mickey... Mickey seems like the enigmatic guy that knows what's going on in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and now you find out he jumped in with no plan to get back out.
Literally. Aqua is like, okay, so how do we get out? And he's like, ooh, I didn't think about that part.
He's like, yeah, I just had a thing I needed to do. And then he says the big line, let your heart be your guiding key.
Yay.
It still doesn't really make sense. And he's like, this is something Keyblade used to say to each other. I think it's good.
I'm always saying this.
I've always been saying it. It's been here the whole time, huh?
Yeah, Aqua even says like, oh, I haven't heard that in a minute.
Yeah, my lame old master used to say it.
At the very end, do we get a part like that where Goofy's like, Yen Sid says it all the time, and Donald's like, really?
Huh, weird.
I didn't notice. But yeah, Aqua, upon witnessing what an impertinent little man Mickey is when he admits that he has no idea how to get out, not only does he not know how to get out, he's just like, oh, I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, which, like, it's kind of, it is funny because it is, like, he had something important to do, so he was just focusing on that, but it does, like, it's like, wow, you're way more like Sora than I thought, that you just, like, I'll figure it out, I guess.
Yeah, and of course, he had no idea that he was going to find Aqua down here.
No, right.
So, yeah, she laughs at that, and she's like, oh, man, I don't remember the last time I laughed, which is always a fun thing to hear from someone.
Mm-hmm.
So they shake hands and set off to find a way out of the Realm of Darkness. Ultimately, after some exploration and fighting Heartless, they find a tunnel with a big bright light shining through it, and they follow it out onto the Destiny Islands, but the fucked up darkness version from the end of Kingdom Hearts 1 when we fight Ansem there.
Mm-hmm.
And she recognizes it. She's like, oh, I've been here. I met some little boys here. And Mickey's like, oh, you know this place? And she says, yeah, I met two kids. And Terra passed on the power of the Keyblade to one of them. Their names were Sora and Riku. And Mickey's like, well, I got some bad news for you.
Yeah, although it was kind of like Mickey being like, oh, shit, there's like real Destiny stuff going on here.
Yeah, I think he does say something like, oh, it must be fate. We must be getting close or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big mystery hanging over these games. It's like, what's going on with the Destiny Islands? You know, Xehanort is from here, and Sora is from here, and Riku and Kairi got somehow ended up here from Hollow Bastion or Radiant Garden, I guess it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
These islands are very, very important, and I don't know if we'll ever know why, but that's on the list.
Yeah.
They are literally called the Destiny Islands.
Yeah, it's not subtle.
No. So they run over to the secret place, the little cave where they got all the drawings on the walls, but they are interrupted by a demon tide, which is like a demon tower, but way, 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 way bigger and worse. And they fight it. They do a sick team attack where Mickey, like, rides the demon tide like Vanitas riding the Keyblades and like steers it toward Aqua so she can wrap it in the golden chains, and then they beat the shit out of it together.
Yeah, this fight was cool.
It's cool. It's a cool fight. They oh yeah, there's a second phase where the tornado kind of like spreads out and becomes less like clumped, which means that the core is exposed. And when I say the core, what I mean is a glowing red orb with Shadow Heartless sticking out of it.
Yeah.
It's basically a popcorn ball of Shadow Heartless.
It's a Resident Evil weak spot with Shadow Heartless coming out.
But despite it looking silly, they are able to defeat it. And they go into the cave. And hey, it's that weird, creepy wooden door that no one has ever been able to open, except that in the Realm of Darkness, just opens right up.
Hmm.
Weird. Yeah. And inside is a much bigger cave, and there's nothing inside of it except for a Keyblade of Darkness, the Kingdom Key D that we've seen Mickey use before.
Yeah, and that's like, I think it's cool to learn, like, it looks like the Kingdom Key because it's literally the Kingdom Key's counterpart.
Yeah. Which does raise a weird question about, like, what does it mean that seemingly there is this innate pair of Keyblades on the Destiny Islands that Sora inherited the light version while the dark version was in the cave here?
Well, it's implied that there's a dark version of every single Keyblade, apparently.
It does seem that way. You know, we haven't really gotten into the nitty-gritty of where Keyblades come from. I don't remember if we ever do. Maybe we do. But, yeah, very, very interesting because, I mean, we know that Keyblades are associated directly with hearts.
Yeah.
Does that imply that the Kingdom Key and the Kingdom Key D, it's not like Sora's Keyblade, it's the Keyblade of the Destiny Island's heart, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, we know that Keyblades... But we kind of know that there's also, like, I guess there's just, like, a certain number of Keyblades that exist, and they can get passed down. So...
Yeah.
I don't really know. Although, I guess, yeah, you can make Keyblades out of hearts, too. So, yeah, it's hard to say exactly what it means. I mean, what it does mean, I think, a little bit, is that it's some of the stuff Xehanort's been saying, which is, like, hey, all light is bad. If everything is all light, that's bad. Everything's a little bit of dark and light, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, like, this isn't like an evil Keyblade.
No.
It's a cool Keyblade. I think it looks better than the Kingdom Key.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it's silver, like a key.
Yeah, I like silver more than gold, so I'm with you there.
You were one of those proponents of the silver standard back in the day.
That's right. I mean, I literally have a white gold wedding ring because I like it more than a yellow gold.
There you go.
Yeah.
Aqua offers to help Mickey. She's like, you know, if you need to use the Keyblade to lock the door, I can hold it shut for you. And he's like,
sorry, the job is taken.
Sorry, that would ruin continuity, haha.
Seriously. A lot of what we're starting to get into toward the end of Fragmentary Passage is, that would ruin continuity.
Yeah.
Snake, you've caused a time paradox.
So the ground starts shaking once again. We cut kind of confusingly to the moment from Kingdom Hearts 1 where Riku arrives in the Realm of Darkness and hears a mysterious voice that we can't hear, but it is Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume that that's happening right now, which means that Ansem has taken over Riku's body in Hollow Bastion.
Yeah, yeah.
And they find themselves transported to the area in the Realm of Darkness that is just outside of the door. And Mickey explains that there is a small, incomplete Kingdom Hearts composed of the Hearts of Worlds, and they can't allow it to exist as it is, so they have to lock this here door. And he says, all we have to do now is wait for Sora and Riku. Once again, Aqua is not happy to hear that they are mixed up in all of this.
Yeah, it's a bummer. They're just kids.
They're just kids. This is the part where Mickey looks over and sees Riku sprinting toward the door in his stupid pants and shoes, and I, playing it the first time, was like, what? When? Oh!
Yeah, it's right now. Okay, yeah.
But the moment where I really said, oh, okay, I see when this is when the Demon Tide reappears, and Aqua holds it back with the chains and tells Mickey, hurry up and lock the door with Riku. And then the Demon Tide breaks free of the chains and it attacks the both of them. It drags Aqua back through the wooden door onto the Destiny Islands, which the door then vanishes out of sight. So there's nothing that Mickey can do to save her. But more importantly, it collides with Mickey, sends him flying. He hits the ground. He looks over at Aqua getting dragged away, and his shirt disintegrates into gold sparkles.
Got blown straight off.
Now, why does it happen? Well, because we already saw him in the first game and he didn't have a shirt on.
So this raises a number of questions for me about Mickey's wardrobe. His pants still have the buttons on them that were on his shirt bibs.
Mm-hmm.
So does this mean that his shirt is buttoned to his pants normally? Are those giant buttons going through his shirt and it's buttoned down kind of like, so he sort of like buttons himself into a big onesie?
Well, first of all, yes, Sora wears a onesie with a little jacket over it in the first game. But I'm pleased to say that I have a crackpot corner and I can explain exactly what's going on with his clothes.
Really? Also, I was kind of wondering, too, because I felt like his shorts looked a little different after his shirt got blasted off. So is that actually his underwear with buttons going all the way through his shirt?
Well, I will tell you exactly what he's wearing.
Okay.
So, in a little bit, at the very end of Fragmentary Passage, once we break out of the flashback, Yen Sid will tell Mickey and Riku that Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether have prepared protective garments for them to wear when they go into the Realm of Darkness.
New vestments, yes.
Now, of course, we know that Keyblade armor provides some protection in the Realm of Darkness. The ultimate protection, of course, is the Black Coat. But Mickey and Riku wear those black coats at the end of Chain of Memories and throughout Kingdom Hearts 2. However, this is before that. So at this point, think about it from Mickey's perspective. So he has probably been in communication with Yen Sid about all of this. He says, I have to go on a mission into the Realm of Darkness. Master Yen Sid, what do you have for me that will protect me from the darkness? Yen Sid says, well, we've never sent anyone into the Realm of Darkness, but I can talk to Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether and see if they can come up with something that they think will help you out. So they make for him this stupid outfit.
Oh, a big bib shirt. Okay.
They make him a bib shirt. They button it onto his shorts.
Yeah, you gotta button it down to create a seal against the darkness. Okay.
That is correct. However, of course, again, this is the first time that we've sent anyone into the Realm of Darkness. So Mickey goes down. It's protecting him okay, but when it gets hit directly with a barrage of Heartless, which are made of pure darkness, you know, it wasn't ready for that. They didn't know what kind of damage it could take. So when he gets hit with those Heartless, it dispels the magical clothing that he was given.
Okay.
Now, the clothing, as you said, once those disintegrate, he's still wearing his shorts with the big gold buttons. That is because those buttons are the buttons that you press to activate the clothing.
Oh, it's like the armor that the Keyblade wielders used to have?
Exactly. Wow. So he pushes the button on his shorts, and it looks really weird, but he does it in private. He pushes the button on his shorts. The clothes magically appear. He buttons them down to create a seal against darkness. And then the Heartless thwacked into his shorts, hit the turn off clothes button. They disappeared, but he's still wearing his normal shorts because that's what he's actually wearing. Those are the real clothes augmented with magical clothes.
I got it. Yeah, no, I think this is all correct. This is perfect.
Yep.
Is that why Pete's outfit is like a weird, like, skin-tight space, like, super, like, future spacesuit? Because it's a darkness-sealing diaper, kind of?
Yeah, it's a darkness-sealing diaper, except Maleficent made it for him, and she's mean, so she made it look like shit.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Proven. This isn't even a crackpot corner. This is just crackpot reality.
Yeah, I read it in the Ultimania.
Yeah.
the Fragmentary Passage Ultimania. It's very short. That's pretty much the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Aqua gets dragged back onto the Destiny Islands and the door disappears. Now, this is a thing. Mickey gets a lot of shit from the fandom for abandoning Aqua in the darkness. I had forgotten that it was written. Obviously, it was written intentionally to create a situation where there was literally nothing he could do to help her. But it was.
Yeah.
There's nothing he could do about it.
And she's a Keyblade Master.
Yeah. She's fine.
Yeah.
Well, she's fine.
Yeah.
She stances up to fight the demon tied by herself, and she thinks to herself, like, I'm thankful to Terra and Mickey for showing me what's at stake, and now that I know that the Realm of Light needs a protector, I will keep fighting the darkness. I will face the long darkness. The next time someone wanders into the Realm of Darkness, I will be here, a light to cut through all the shadows. I will be their wayfinder, and one day I will return to Terra and Ven. I am Master Aqua, and that's a promise. I like all of that except for the very end of it.
I think it's kind of cool for her to remind you that she's a Keyblade Master.
I think there's just something about I am Master Aqua and that's a promise that doesn't quite sit right with me. It almost sounds like she's promising that she is Master Aqua.
Sure, yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was cool.
It's cool. I just wish it was just a little tweak. I'll return to Terra and Ven. No, I don't know. I'm not going to fix it.
Let your heart be your guiding key. There you go.
I am Master Aqua, and I promise to let my heart be my guiding key, as I always say.
As everyone has always said, and I say.
And then, yeah, we get the scene where Mickey is like, Aqua, but there's nothing I can do. All right. Now, Sora, let's close this door for good. And then everyone says, oh, that's why he had to be shirtless. Because when they made this scene in Kingdom Hearts 1, they thought that they would never get to show Mickey again. So they could only... Because, lest we forget, Disney told them, you can show Mickey on screen once.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably they were like, well, we can't give him a weird outfit. That would just confuse the iconic silhouette.
Right, Disney lawyers are probably like, he's got to look just like we know Mickey to look.
Right, he's got his big shorts, he's got his big gloves, and he's got no shirt on.
It is honestly an achievement that they got Epic Mickey in those later games.
I know. I really would love to, like, witness the meetings that they must have had where they, like, sit down and they're like, look, the game sold really well. You are going to let us put him in the sequel, and he's going to look really cool.
He's going to do so much cool anime stuff with his back to his friends, holding out his sword, doing flips. You're going to love it. He's just going to be just like Yoda in Attack of the Clones.
Yoda man. Yoda to Mickey.
Yoda to Mickey.
And then he did, and it was true, and it was good.
Yeah.
I guess he was also in Chain of Memories before that. Whatever.
Yeah, for all five people that got to play it.
Aqua, after defeating the demon tide, rather, she's lying on the beach. Sora is just fighting a big boat right now, and he beats the boat, and on the beach the cloudy sky clears instantly and it fills with stars. She tries to call out to Terra and Ventus because she's looking at stars and wishing they were with her. But she is unable to contact them, and she realizes that she is once again completely alone. And the stars start to fall from the sky as the worlds begin to restore. We saw this at the end of Kingdom Hearts 1. But unfortunately for her, that means that the Destiny Islands, which currently exist in the Realm of Darkness, exit the Realm of Darkness without her. And the world just vanishes under her back, and she just kind of smiles as she falls deeper and deeper into the abyss, and thinks to herself, may our hearts be our guiding key. Aqua, you didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
They're really trying to make sure that we know it's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people didn't play Union Cross, so they gotta start bringing it into the main series.
Did this... I have to scroll up to my list of cries to see if this did make me cry. Apparently I did cry at this. There we go.
I didn't cry, but it was sad. But
apparently I did.
Yeah. I'm not a big...
It's very sad, and the fact that she's smiling because she's like... She's like, I have something to fight for again, mm-hmm. You know? And then we get a fairly unnecessary final shot, from Aqua's perspective as she arrives at the Dark Margin sometime later to talk to Ansem, as we saw in the Blank Points ending. I didn't need this.
No.
We don't get it. We literally just see her walking up to him and then it fades to black. So, fine. Whatever. Anyway, we go back to Yensid's tower. Mickey finishes telling his story. And Riku is very upset to learn A, Aqua sacrificed herself to save him. B, Mickey never told him about it. But Ricky is... Ricky, no!
Ricky!
Miku. Mickey is like, I had to respect her choice. And yeah, you know, she's a Keyblade Master. She can handle herself. What were we going to do, you know? tell you and Sora about it so that you would immediately rush into the Realm of Darkness and die instantly.
Right. Yeah. No, this is good because I was having those thoughts earlier on, being like, why the fuck haven't they done anything about this? And this was a good way to be like, no, come on, think about it. You can't just go into the Realm of Darkness.
Yeah. And, you know, she's been in there for 10 years. What's another couple of years, you know?
She'll be fine, probably.
She'll be fine, probably.
Although I've seen that.
But yeah, it's...
I know, like, three things about Kingdom Hearts 3, and one of them's the ProZD video about... about Aqua, so I don't...
Ugh, she's fine.
She's okay.
Yeah, the famous ProZD video, Aqua is doing just fine.
Aqua's looking good.
Aqua looks well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, again, this is slightly undercut, because Mickey's like, what were we gonna do? Like, it was just me. Like, I needed someone... on my side. I needed another Keyblade Master. I couldn't just go in there on my own, and I couldn't bring you and Sora in with me. Like, that wouldn't have helped. And, you know, I hear you. I do feel like Yen Sid could have helped.
Maybe. We don't really know what his abilities are, but probably could have done something.
He's a retired Keyblade Master.
Yeah, but can he even use a Keyblade anymore?
I don't know. All I know is that he has, like, set it aside and refuses to use it.
Because he destroyed Atlantis, yeah.
Exactly. Which, so often I find myself thinking, man, it would be helpful if Yen Sid got involved here, but whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those things. Isn't this a thing with, like, Gandalf, that, like, he can't just use his incredibly powerful powers however he wants?
Yeah, that's not his job.
Yeah. Maybe he's a, what is it, a Maiar?
Yeah, I'm not, yeah, not as familiar.
I don't know the lore that well, yeah, of Lord of the Rings. Yen Sid is a Maiar or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
He's a Gandalf.
He's the spirit of Walt Disney.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. But yeah, Mickey is like, you know, now things are different. We've got another Keyblade Master. You've got the power of waking. No matter what happens, we should be able to save Aqua between the two of us. And Riku just immediately, no hesitation, is like, well, I'm going. And Kairi finally gets to speak.
Hooray!
Literally, I was worried that she would not have any dialogue in this whole thing, but she, you know, she's like, oh, what happened to Riku? You're seeming like Sora. And he's like, well, you know, I've spent so many years trying to be a role model for you two. I guess Sora's taught me that I should just do whatever my heart tells me. He refers to that as Sora-esque.
Yeah, I like it. This bit goes on too long, but it's fun watching them have fun.
Yeah. This is kind of nuts when, hey, remember what happens in Kingdom Hearts 2? Because Kairi is like, Master Yen Sid, is there anything I can do to help? And he's like, you will be training with Merlin alongside Lee. And she's like, who? And Mickey says, he means Axel. And she says, what? And Mickey replies, aw, he's a regular person now.
Also, Merlin's going to blow her up. The last time we saw Merlin, he was, like, trying to murder his, like, partner in Sid.
What was that?
Remember? He, like, literally threw magic at Sid and tried to fucking kill him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He was trying to kill Sid.
Yeah.
Well, Sid is dead now, so Merlin's all good.
Yeah, now he's going to blow up Kairi.
Riku vouches for Lee, though, and Kairi's like, well, if you trust him, I'll trust him, even though he did kidnap me last time I saw him.
Yeah.
And finally, Yen Sid give Mickey and Riku some cool suitcases.
He was literally a different guy when he kidnapped her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He kind of had a heart, but not entirely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah.
Let bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
If someone kidnapped me, I'd get over it. Really quickly. Really quickly. Lest we forget, this is really quickly.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'd be all in on the Stockholm Syndrome, you know?
Lee, isn't he that guy that kidnapped me 3 days ago?
And is my best friend?
Mickey, Riku, and Kairi all set off, and Sora, who of course went to visit the Dream Eaters at the end of Dream Drop Distance, finally gets back. Donald and Goofy are very impatient. They're like, "Where were you?" And he's like, "Not telling." And he excitedly throws the door open to see everyone again, and it's just Yensid.
I like that.
And Sora, Donald's like, "It's your fault for taking so long." And Sora's like, "I wanted to say goodbye to my friends." And Donald says, "Then do it faster."
These three are good.
Yeah, I missed them.
Mm-hmm.
Yensid gets them back on track and reminds Sora that he has failed to acquire the power of waking in his Mark of Mastery exam. And also, hey, new game coming. Your temporary brush with the Abyss of Darkness has left you severely weakened. Yay! You gotta get all your abilities back.
Yeah, I suspect you have noticed you'll have to level up again in Kingdom Hearts 3, right, Sora?
Yeah, and Sora literally... I love this moment where Donald and Goofy are, like, trying to comfort him as Sora's, like, moping about it, but then he just kind of shakes it off and he's like, "Oh, well, it's not the first time."
Yeah, that was definitely a nod, I think, to the gameplay stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is one of those classic, let's just take a step back from Kingdom Hearts and just appreciate how completely ludicrous this line is when Yensid goes,
"Chip and Dale are currently analyzing data that Anson the Wise provided to Riku."
Oh, God. I love it when I remember that Chip and Dale are master technological hackers.
Yeah, like, they are not just, like, background characters. They are background characters, but they also are inventing basically everything that they use in these games.
Yeah, they're the Q team for Kingdom Hearts.
They really are.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yensid is like, "I still think, Sora, that you are our best chance of stopping Xehanort because you're the main character. So go grind and get your abilities back and master the power of waking and follow your heart to the Lost Keyblade Masters." And he says, "You know, there is a certain hero who went through something similar once when he lost all of his strength." And Sora realizes who he means and starts flexing and posing.
Yeah, I realized it before the flexing and posing, but it's helpful. Yeah, Hercules has to beat every game, so I guess that's where we're going.
I think it's literally every game except Dream Drop Distance, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because you couldn't go there. That wouldn't make sense.
True. True. When you put it that way, yeah, they're like, "There's gotta be a way we can justify it. Come on, please."
Maybe they go to Hades and that could be there.
No, it's the same world. Fuck! We can't put it in this one. No. Aww. Donald and Goofy, this is kind of the same thing that happened in the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2, is that they kind of realize for a moment that they're like, "Oh, we don't have any reason to go on an adventure together anymore, do we?" But then they realize that they do, and they get very excited.
Yeah.
They're like, looks like we should escort you to Olympus, and they kind of start teasing him about failing his exam, and Donald calls him a half pint, and Goofy says, "The three of us together make a whole pint." I hope you like that joke, because they're going to repeat it about 500 times in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Well, Sora says it's 1.5 pints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I think it would be better if they said it 100 times.
Yeah.
They set off on the gummy ship. Is this the first time we've seen the interior of the gummy ship? I can't remember.
No, remember when we saw horrible smiling Sora? I think that was inside the gummy ship.
Horrible smiling Sora.
Remember when he's trying to force being happy to make the gummy ship go?
Oh, that was in the manga.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, no, we definitely see it in Kingdom Hearts 2. I remember there's that scene where Maleficent saves them, and then they're sitting in the gummy ship, and they're like, "Looks like help can come from surprising places." So, no, this is not our first time seeing the inside. But
right. Okay.
Here we are. The gummy routes have closed again, so they can't just fly wherever they want to, because we have to grind more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part where, well, first, Donald is like, "Can you take this seriously, Sora?" And Sora says, "Hey, these things take time," which is, A, it's a joke about how long Kingdom Hearts 3 was in development, but also this is something that Sora said about how he didn't know how to use Ansem's computer in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Goofy says, try picturing your friends like you're there. Sora starts flexing again, but then gives up. And then Goofy says the line of the game, "May your heart be your guiding key. Master Yen Sid always said that before we went off on our adventures." And Sora's like, "Did he, Donald?" And Donald's like, "No, I don't think so.
I don't know. Feels like that's maybe something that only got invented recently."
Very funny. It's very funny to have one character do the thing where you shoehorn it in and say, "He's always said that," and then have another character go, "No, he hasn't."
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I like it, though. I feel like they were having fun with this one, even though it is a slightly dour game a lot of the time.
They really were. I mean, I think that I can tell you something right now that will really exemplify having fun with a dour game. You would never have known from the video that we watched that Aqua has a checklist of tasks that she can complete to earn different clothing parts for her dress-up game.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like in the town outside of the Castle of Dreams, and it's like, strike 20 street lamps. And if you do that, then you get little angel wings that you can put on her.
That's really goofy.
Very, very silly. I didn't bother with it very much, but people love to make her into goth Aqua.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Anyway, Sora, he decides to let his heart be his guiding key, and he summons his Keyblade, and he uses it, and it opens a gate, and they say, "Olympus Coliseum, here we come." And that is the end of Fragmentary Passage.
I'm glad they said where they were going. I hadn't figured it out yet. I lied.
I don't know if I remembered, because I think I haven't seen Hercules in so long that I think that I legitimately forgot that that was a thing about him, that he loses his strength and has to get it back. You know, that the plot of the movie.
My sisters loved that movie, so I saw that movie a lot.
I think I did too, just there was a cutoff point in my childhood where I stopped watching it and never watched it again.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, I think when I played this originally and he said, "Olympus Coliseum, here we come," I was like, oh, that's why he's been flexing.
That's why he flexed, yeah. Could have been Tarzan, except for we know it can't be Tarzan.
No, Tarzan never lost his strength. He just got stronger and stronger as he wrestled a cheetah a million times or whatever. A leopard? Who cares?
Yeah, eventually murders Jaguar, a leopard whatever. With a knife.
A kitty cat. Mm-hmm. That's the end of A Fragmentary Passage. We got it done in one episode. I wasn't sure if we could, but it turns out it is actually very short.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means next week we're starting Kingdom Hearts 3.
That's crazy. Exciting, though.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Is it time for... Oh, do we have any questions? I don't know if we did. We've been off for a while.
There should be one question,
so we probably forgot to ask for any. Well, we have one from you.
Yeah.
We have one from Noah at Owldude from a month ago. Did we answer this?
What's the question?
If you had to pick one, this must have... I don't remember this. This must have come in after we finished, or after we recorded our last Union Cross episode. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick one, which war or mass atrocity would you erase from everyone's memory to heal as a nation? Hashtag always forget, saluting emoji.
One war or atrocity for us to all forget. Jesus, that's a tough question.
What really broke everyone's brains? I mean,
COVID.
It's a heavy topic, but I think that 9/11 really fucked us up.
9/11, I guess I don't want people to forget about... I mean, people already did forget about COVID, so never mind. yeah, 9/11 broke a lot of brains. And maybe, I guess, the whole concept of a stolen election, maybe. That would be good.
God. Yeah, I'd rather just change history, but I can't do that.
Yep.
Then Achilles Heelys asks, what would Zack Snyder's Kingdom Hearts be like?
Yeah, I might have sent this to you when I was listening to 0-0.
Well, speaking of dour, it would be dour and it would suck ass.
Yeah. A lot more slow motion, I think. And yeah, I think that at some point Sora would say fuck.
But only after saying shit 100 times.
Right, yeah.
There would definitely be a scene where Sora, you know, in Kingdom Hearts 2, when Sora finds out that every time he defeats a Heartless, he's releasing hearts that are inadvertently helping the organization create Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
And Sora is like, you know, what do I do? Because I can't just not fight the Heartless. If Zack Snyder had made Kingdom Hearts 2, Pa Kent would have walked in that scene and said, "Why can't you just not fight the Heartless? Whatever happens, happens. Ignore them. Who cares?"
Right. Yeah, Sora's mom would appear to do that. Yeah.
You have to do what's best for you, Sora.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's the scene
where... with great power comes great fun.
Yeah. There's the scene where Sora and Riku are about to kill each other and they find out their moms have the same name and then they don't.
There would be a whole lot more of Sora using his fire magic to heat up his Keyblade and then branding people's faces with it.
It'd be that. Yeah, who could be the cool guy that drives around in a car and is rich? Sid, maybe?
Scrooge McDuck. Scrooge McDuck would be the main character.
Oh, yeah. Scrooge McDuck would be the main character and the libertarian hero that we need.
I don't know if all of our Flash episodes are up, but 0 to 0, we did watch all of the Flash. We have recorded all three of those episodes because I don't know if the average listener to this podcast necessarily knows that for some reason, 0 to 0, we watch movies 3 weeks at a time.
I didn't realize that, but yeah.
But that is what we do.
That I've only heard the first episode, which I think is all.
It gets worse.
And I'm really glad you came back to do it because I don't want to watch that movie, but I'm excited. I'm enjoying hearing you describe how bad it is.
It was quite bad. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Not that it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, but visually taking it in was one of the worst experiences of my eyes' lives.
Right. Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you get to do that and I don't have to.
Shall we dive to the wiki now?
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited.
You found Alex Wolf.
I did find Alex Wolf this morning.
Was this a random button or something? How did you find Alex Wolf?
I'm trying to remember what I did. I think I was just trying. I don't remember. I did a particular search, but I don't remember what it was. But it just, yeah, I don't know. I just got to it. So
what? Maybe you searched for Data.
Oh, you know what? I think I might have. Yeah. I think I might have searched for Data, and that's how I got to it. Yeah.
Well, would you like to tell us a little bit about Alex Wolf?
Sure. Alex is a nice boy and will help anybody, no matter what the cost is. Alex is the one that will make you smile when you're down and help you up if you fall. Lisa, about Alex.
Aw, thanks, Lisa.
So, Alex Wolf is the brother of Don Wolf and Anna Wolf.
Great.
He is a major protagonist in Kingdom Hearts The Data Book.
I like there's no colon there, just Kingdom Hearts The Data Book.
The Data Book. This writer's pretty straightforward, you'll find. He is 11 at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts The Data Book. Alex's signature weapon is the Rainbow Blade, a type of Keyblade. He is the older brother of Anna and Don Wolf, and the younger brother of Aqua Wolf and son of Alexis Wolf and Dante.
From the Devil May Cry series.
Oh, actually, that's how I got here. As I went, and one of the big search terms was Dante, and I clicked on Dante because I was hoping I'd find Devil May Cry, and instead I found this.
Yeah, that's not Dante from the Devil May Cry series. Could I quickly tell you a little bit about Lisa?
I would love it if you did.
Lisa is part of MCX.
Oh, what?
Now, you're probably wondering what that means.
Yeah.
Here's the article for MCX. This article is in need of more information. This article is lacking everything.
Oh, there's something. There's a couple things here. Can you tell me about
them? Yeah, we got their goals. MCX wants Kingdom Hearts for hearts. Save all the nobodies. Make a portal to go to all the realities. And lastly, find all the Moogles. Parentheses. The Moogles want this.
Oh, good. I'm glad the Moogles want that.
I love this because this person's art style is clearly like they are 6 years old because all of their characters are just standing with their arms outstretched to their sides.
Yeah, and they're all like MS Paint, I think.
Very good.
Yeah. Let's see. You know, I don't even think I need to tell you anything else about Alex Wolf, maybe. Well, let's see.
Okay. I think the most interesting thing about Alex Wolf is his weapon. I mean, before we even get to his weapon, his picture which I'm assuming is some kind of, like, cobbled together Photoshop or something, because the art style is completely different. He is holding a sword with a chain from the bottom of the hilt that goes to the bottom of the hilt of another sword.
It's, like, floating. Okay, I have two more things to read about Alex Wolff before you read about the Keyblade, the thing that we really want to hear about. So I'm going to read about Alex's personality real quick. Alex is a nice boy and will help anybody, no matter what the cost. Alex is the one that will make you smile when you're down and help you up if you fall. Alex's emotions and mod are represented by his rainbow blade. If Alex gets mad, the rainbow blade becomes red. So in that picture, he's mad. When he is sad, the rainbow blade becomes blue. When he is happy, the rainbow blade appears in its true form. And I'm going to read you Alex's appearance. Alex has one blue eye and one red eye. He has brown hair and wears a blue shirt and red pants. Not according to that drawing, but okay. Alex also has a black cloak, though usually does not wear it.
Could you read his first quote?
Why are you fighting us?
Poor Alex.
Oh, and I'll read a second quote. They are my friends! We may fight and sometimes say stuff, but we are friends nonetheless.
Despite saying things, we are friends! Oh, I just caught something that I need to read.
Yeah.
This is in the story section under The Imposter. Much time later, Alex meets the fake Troisnik's Etienne, and they talk.
I saw that, yeah.
How the fuck? How is Troisnik's Etienne here?
It might be the same kid.
I don't think so, because Le Lutte pour Respectier are all, like, hand-drawn and look all right.
Well, maybe Zach got permission to be part of the Le Lutte pour Respectier.
I think that this might just be, like, a popular fanon thing. I think Le Lutte pour Prescrien, I'm sure that's pronounced right, they're just so popular that they show up in everyone's stuff.
Yeah.
So it's great to see Troisnik's Etienne again.
Yeah. Okay, read to me about this Keyblade. I need to hear about this Keyblade.
Well, let me tell you about the Rainbow Blade. It looks like a gear shift fucked a menorah.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't think of how to say it, but that's a pretty good way to describe it.
Yeah. It's just like a weird branching series of sticks that each have a different, like, colored bulb at the end.
It could be part of a puzzle in, like, Riven or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This article, Rainbow Blade, is the creative property of Zach!
It's also lacking everything, unfortunately.
Wrong. This article is everything. Yeah. Rainbow Blade. Requirements. Alex got the Rainbow Blade by doing stuff to get it. To get the light part, Alex had to fight darkness with a stick. To get the fire part, Alex had to feed the lava. To get the water part, Alex had to feed fish and help them. To get the wind part, Alex had to help the birds with food and eggs.
What?
To get the earth part, Alex had to help birds, fish, wildlife with food, water, and homes. To get the ice part, Alex had to live in the cold and snow. To get the stone part, Alex had to make a home out of stone. To get the lighting part, Alex had to be hit by it.
What?
To get the dark part, Alex had to feel darkness.
That's amazing. I want to play that game. That game sounds good. I want to help the birds with food and eggs.
I want to be hit by lightning.
I want to help birds, fish, wildlife with food, water, and homes.
Helping them with homes. The Rainbow Blade can be used from far away. Oh, sorry, I'm confused. Hold on. Recipe.
It's the recipe.
The Rainbow Blade can be used from far away. It's like when you find a recipe online and it's just telling you a bunch of bullshit that you don't care about.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Quesadillas can be eaten in many ways. It's none of my business. With the power of wind, fire, holy, lightning.
Lighting.
No, with the power of wind, fire, holy, lighting, period. The Rainbow Blade can talk to Alex.
Yeah, we'll have to post this in the Discord when we're done recording.
Sorry, I am looking at Zach's profile, the user Dark Shadow Dragon, which says the following. I'm back. Below is the reason I left, but I'm back, and I learned something. One, Mal has pushed me too far. Last night, TNE, that's Troy Snicks at TN, got on, and I did not trust her. I thought she was Mal. So they had a fight.
Yeah, this is a good website.
And then someone says, thank you to Sir for the help on this one. Alex, I'm sorry I put you in that mess. I could have helped you, but I did not want to go back. Sad.
Is sad in parentheses or just sad something they say?
I don't know. There's some broken formatting here. This is Wish Us Duck.
This is Wish Us Duck. Oh no, I have not done this in so long.
I have.
Oh, I have not. Well, I'm sticking to my guns. I'm not.
I've stayed immersed. I have not turned off the voice until it was time to record this.
Oh, okay. So you, okay, you're like living in it. You've gone method. Okay.
That's right. I'm in immense pain.
Are you constantly playing a hot guitar and a hot piano, and are you no longer wearing pants?
Dual wielding.
Yeah.
I learned how to play guitar and piano. It's to get the only in the mindset way to, of Donald Duck.
It's the only way to do a Donald Duck impression correctly, so, yeah.
I also bought a gun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't have any nephews, so I didn't have to worry about shooting them.
Oh, that's good.
What did Donald Duck say this week? He didn't say much. He said a few things to Sora that were mean.
Yeah. I don't know. I was, like, giving him a serious quote.
What about just a classic, may your heart be your guiding key?
Oh, sure.
And I say classic because they've been saying it the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
No, that sucked. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I think that sounded pretty good compared to what I'm about to do.
I understood it.
Yeah, that actually is like one of the better ones I've done, probably.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I forgot. This is what we found, is that when you don't do it for several weeks, then you come back pretty good, and then next week is going to be really bad.
That's right. Like, I'll be overthinking it next week.
Anything else?
No, nah, I think that's all the stuff.
Yeah, we're on co-host at Sounds by Light. I'm on co-host at Positive Stress. You can check out the recent 0-0 episodes that we did on The Flash. We had to take a little break from Dr. Huh because we were sick and then out of town. But we are going to be recording our episode on Planet of the Ood very soon. We'll get to see Donna finally, which I've heard is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. I've caught up on your show and on the Patreon episodes too. And hey, good show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, it is good. Fuck everyone who says it's not.
Who does that?
Nobody.
Okay. Stephen Moffat, probably.
Our Tumblr haters who think my opinions are bad, but they're wrong.
That doesn't count.
Those people don't exist, maybe. No. We were both on an extra credit episode about Wikipedia, and we were also both on an F+ episode about Not Always Right.
That's right.
That was very, very exciting getting to be on the F+ and read my favorite website that exists.
Yeah. God, that was fun. It is great that I've missed saying my catchphrase in 3 consecutive F+ episodes, and I tried to say it in this one, and I got edited out, so...
Oh, that's true, it did.
So, I tried this time, and I'll do it...
You said it 3 times.
I said it 3... I'm gonna do it 4 times, I guess. I don't know.
You said it 3 times, and none of us were happy about it.
No. Well, maybe 4 is the right number.
Just like how Kingdom Hearts 4 will have your catchphrase 4 times.
Hopefully it's my F+ one and not my extra credit one.
Anything else? Is that it?
Noise Space, I think.
On Noise Space, you can listen to Kamurocho Radio, which I'm shouting out because I finally finished Like a Dragon Gaiden. I didn't cry, but I did like it a lot. And now I'm playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, in case anyone was curious.
Yeah, I've really only played 0 all the way through, and
it's a hell of a journey.
I want to play more of them, but then I get like that paralysis of like there's so much game to play.
Yeah. Just don't do what I did and play through like I would the way that I would do it is I would play a Like a Dragon slash Yakuza game, and I would play like 80% of it, and then I would put it down, and then I would pick it back up months and months later, finish it, and then immediately jump into the next, and then I would find that all of those games were one big slurry of plot and I didn't know anything.
Yeah, yeah, I've done that.
Don't do that.
I've done that, unfortunately, with Kiwami. I think I'm like 60% through Kiwami.
Yeah.
And I need to go finish it. It's hard to go from zero to Kiwami, I think you'll find. But
it's a rough jump back. They weren't writing video games yet. They didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. Listening to Kamurocho Radio, I'm like, oh, I think I'd almost like this better if I had the like goofy American voice choices where they say fuck all the time.
What are you fucking talking about, bitch?
That's just
get
not,
out of my not, host club, prick.
That's just not Kiryu, but I would love it though.
Well, I think that's it for us this week. Next time we will be starting Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't know when we'll be hearing the new Xehanort voice, but for now, Keyblade. There we go.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
The battle for the Realm of Light is not won. Thanks to Terra and Mickey, I know what's at stake. I'm not afraid. I will face the long darkness. The next time someone wanders into the Realm of Darkness, I'll be here. A light to cut through all the shadows. I will be their wayfinder. And one day, I'll return to Terra and Ven. I am Master Aqua, and that's a promise.